Things Apostolic. My name is Casey Cease, and today we're going to talk about Luke's use of apologetics in the book of Acts. Hello, and welcome to today's episode of All Things Apostolic. Today I am in the new sanctuary in Turlock. As you can see, there's a little bit of work still to be done. We found this pulpit in a storage shed here on the premise, and we're using it currently. We've still got some things to lay on the platform. And if I sound a little bit echoey, it's because we don't have our acoustic tiles, which just came in today, or our chairs in the sanctuary. So it is a little bit echoey. But I do want to start by saying that this past Wednesday we had one received the Holy Ghost while I was in Kaipa with Pastor Jonathan Walker. We also had two receive the Holy Ghost while I was in Ukaipa. We started to frame the platform. As you can see, the framing part of it is done, and now we are just getting ready to deck the platform. After this is finished, we already have the sound booth in the back framed out, and now we need to start adding the decking as well as the drywall and the other components to pull it together. And I am happy to say that due to the generosity of Pastor Rick Mayo and Cornerstone Pentecostal Church in Spokane, Washington, we are able to get some new carpet to put down in the sanctuary. Thank you, Pastor Rick Mayo. Thank you, Cornerstone Pentecostal Church in Spokane, for your generous gift in helping us build this church here in Turlock. And lastly, before we get into today's topic, I do want to update you and say that our first service will be held here in the new building November 3rd at 10 a.m. Pacific time. If you're in the Turlock area, we would love to see you. Bishop Miles Young will be preaching that service. And so what I want to talk today about is Acts. In the book of Acts, we typically look at Acts as historical inquiry. We look at it, and when we read the Bible, we talk about it as a historical narrative. And this is especially true as it pertains to the early church and the need for apostolic doctrine today. For instance, we believe in Jesus' name baptism, and we believe in the infilling of the Holy Ghost, and we believe in the essentiality of speaking in tongues as evidence of one receiving the Holy Ghost based on the historical narrative that is written in the book of Acts. And so Acts as a historical narrative also carries with it didactic purposes wherewith we can see what the early church believed, what the early church preached, and what we should continue to believe and preach based on what is listed there. However, in addition to Acts being a historical narrative, there are many scholars that argue that in addition to this historical narrative, Luke also utilizes other genres. Another aspect of Luke's writing is considered to be what most would call apologetic. In Acts chapter 7, verses 2 through 53, we see Stephen's defense before he gets stoned. His address to the Sanhedrin was not only a personal defense to be acquitted, but it was an apologetic for faith in Jesus Christ. And so Stephen's defense, if we were to look at other defenses in that time frame, his defense was common in his culture. He reviewed Israel's history and he highlighted the support for what he was arguing. His argument was built around key figures in Abraham, in Joseph, Moses, Daniel, and Solomon. And Stephen endeavored to show how the gospel was consistent and how it was the culmination of the Old Testament revelation. And so in other passages, we also see Luke implore this use of apologetics. We see it in Acts chapter 22, verses 3 through 21, where Paul's defense before the Jews take place. We also see it in Acts chapter 24, verses 10 through 21, in which Paul is on trial before Felix. And then again, we see it in Acts chapter 26, verses 2 through 29, when Paul gives his defense before Agrippa. These last three are what I want to focus on today, and that is Luke's use of apologetics in the form of defending Paul, one of the key figures of the spread of Christianity. And so Luke uses apologetics in an increasingly important way as we look at Luke's defense of Paul and the charges that were brought against him. And so throughout the book of Acts, it is recorded multiple riots that have taken place in connection with the Apostle Paul. And one might ask, why is it that Luke feels that it is important to highlight some of these riots that have taken place? But if we were to look at the Roman Empire and culture during that time, sedition or treason or some of these types of acts are some of the most heinous acts to the Roman people. In fact, sedition and treason were things that were punishable by death. And so since Paul is before key figures, and since Paul is being accused of sedition, it is Luke's goal to clear Paul of the charges that were set before him. And the reason why it is Luke's goal to do this is because Luke's goal is reaching the Roman people. Part of Luke's narrative here in Acts is to show the growth of the church, but also to document the truth regarding Jesus Christ. And so since Paul is the key figurehead, since Paul is the primary preacher of the gospel in the second half of the book of Acts, Luke sees it as something that is important to clear Paul's name so that the Romans would believe in Jesus Christ. You see, Luke's defense utilizes forensic rhetoric and historical apologetics. Luke, as a skilled writer, doesn't just record historical events. Instead, he constructs a defense for Paul using what is called forensic rhetoric. Forensic rhetoric refers to the kind of argumentation you might see in a courtroom setting. Luke's goal is to show that Paul's accusers, not Paul, are the ones that are responsible for the unrest that is taking place. In Acts 25 and 8, we see Paul repeatedly denying the charges against him, saying, "I have done nothing wrong against the Jewish law or against the temple or against Caesar." What Luke does here is critical. He shifts the blame back on Paul's opponent. For instance, we see this again in Acts chapter 21 when riots break out. It is clear from Luke's narrative that Paul was merely preaching, and it was his Jewish opponents who stirred the crowd in a frenzy. This is important rhetoric move because it's showing that the unrest is always sparked by Paul's enemies, not by Paul himself. And so Luke constructs a defense that positions Paul as an innocent victim rather than the seditionist. Additionally, Luke provides a detailed account of Paul's legal trials. Acts chapter 22 through chapter 26 contain some of the most detailed legal speeches in the New Testament. These speeches serve a dual purpose. On one hand, they offer Paul's defense before Roman officials like Felix, Festus, and Agrippa. But on the other hand, they serve Luke's broader apologetic agenda, and that is to demonstrate that Paul and the extension of Christianity is not a threat to the Roman Empire. And so the Roman Empire, because they see these riots taking place, because they see uproar around, Luke feels that it is important that he shows that Christianity is not a threat to the Roman Empire, but Christianity is something that is based on law-abiding citizens. It is not someone that believes in starting riots. Instead, it is Paul's opposers. And this isn't just something that we see used in Luke. We see other people around this time frame using the same type of rhetoric in court cases to prove the innocence of their victims, or the innocence rather of the people they're representing. And what's interesting in rhetoric is, forensic rhetoric, is that it is common to see charges put on the individual based on the people that actually did it. And so we see that the Jews are the ones that take Paul to Rome, and the Jews are the ones that say that Paul did, or Paul started, the riots, when in fact it was them that started the riots. And since this is the case, following forensic rhetoric, what Luke does is to take the charges that the accusers are putting on Paul and flip them back on the Jews as the ones who actually did it. And so again, Luke is attempting to clear Paul's name. And so what can we learn from Paul's defense in Luke, in Acts? What we can learn is, first and foremost, Luke is not just telling a story. Instead, he is also constructing a defense that addresses both the Jews and Roman accusations, while also preserving Paul's legacy for future generations. Luke's use of forensic rhetoric, his detailed accounts of Paul's legal trials, and his sensitivity to not just telling a story, all of this worked together to provide a powerful apologetic. And so Paul is not a rebel, nor is he a seditionist. He is an apostle who is unjustly accused by those who oppose the gospel. In conclusion of today, Luke's portrayal of Paul in Acts offers us valuable insight into how the early church navigated opposition from both Jewish and Roman authorities. It shows us the lengths to which Luke went to ensure that Paul's legacy was preserved, not as a troublemaker, but as a faithful servant of Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining me on this week's episode of All Things Apostolic. I look forward to seeing you next time.